May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
The Hebrew Bible text is from Psalm 33. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Delight in praise, O you upright.
Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to the Lord with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to the Lord a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts.
Upright is the word of the Lord, whose work is done in faithfulness. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord.
By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of God's mouth.
The Lord gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle, and put the deeps in storehouses. For the Lord spoke, and it came to be. The Lord commanded, and it stood forth.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing, and frustrates the plans of the peoples.
The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of God's heart to all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom the Lord has chosen as a heritage.
Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew in the 9th chapter. It is 2 pieces of this chapter that give us a sense of the way that Jesus is leading us as he both calls and follows, as he heals and gives courage. I invite you to listen for the word of God. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat down at dinner in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were sitting with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." While he was saying these things to them, suddenly a leader of the synagogue came and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." And Jesus got up and followed him with his disciples. Then suddenly a woman who'd been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be made well." Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well.
When Jesus came to the leader's house and saw the flute players and crowd making a commotion, he said, "Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. And report of this spread throughout the district. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well, Jesus says to this woman who comes to him for healing, touching just the hem of his garment. She is made well, the story tells us. It's one moment in these incredible scenes connected together in this morning's gospel reading that give us an image of a God whose love continues to push out, to push past limits and barriers and imagined borders of community and love and belonging. Jesus, in this moment, is speaking to a woman who's interrupted his plan. He was on his way to the home of a leader of his religious community whose daughter had died to bring her back to life. And on that way is interrupted by this woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years, who reaches out to touch his garment and is healed. Take heart, he says, your faith has made you well. I've been sitting this week with that simple phrase, take heart. It's translated differently into English in other English versions of the Bible. Sometimes it says something like, be of good cheer. The Greek word connecting to the word for heart, which also gives us the word for courage. Take heart, Jesus says, or have courage, or claim hope. Your faith has made you well. Take heart, he says, inviting us to the courageous task of living as people who've been changed by Jesus. As I sat with this simple word, this simple phrase this week, I was thinking about the courage required to be people who participate in Jesus' healing work. On the one hand, it seems like this woman is healed by Jesus, as if she could be the passive recipient of a gift of grace and healing. But he says, take heart, have courage, as if participating in healing requires our investment, our labor, our giving of our own hearts. And that certainly is true with my experience of healing and forgiveness and transformation in this world, that the invitation to let ourselves be healed always comes as an invitation of participation, that our work is required if we're going to experience the fullness of transformation that's possible through the gospel. It's not something that can just be done to us. We accept it, and we let it change us, change who we are and who we're becoming. On this day of transitions in the life of our community, as our children are promoted from one grade to the next, as our fourth graders get their own Bibles to read, as we celebrate graduations from high school and grad school, we celebrate moments of transition and change, recognizing that the thing celebrated isn't the fullness of what's happening. But these moments of transition become moments in which we're invited to participate in what is becoming in us and in our communities. Jesus says to this woman who touches the hem of his garment, take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well. He names her as one who belongs with him in the family. He names her as kin, as a daughter, as a child, as one who belongs, one who's invited to live courageously, as a member of this family, as a participant in the work of healing. For all of us, the invitation of the gospel is one of participation. Even the story we read at the beginning of the gospel text, as Jesus calls Matthew to come and follow him, is a story of reciprocation. Jesus says, come and follow me, and so Matthew follows him but ends up in Matthew's home. Matthew is both follower and leader, host and recipient. We are participants together in this work of following Jesus. We are those who choose to follow and also who draw the gospel out. And the church needs to be reminded of this over and over again, that the call of sharing the gospel is one that happens when we invite and graciously welcome people into our community, but it's also what happens when we go out from this place to live with grace and compassion and love and justice in the world. When we go to places even that make us uncomfortable, to be a presence of hope and forgiveness and healing and love. The gospel happens both as we welcome in and as we dare to go out. And it cannot happen with either posture alone. Always, the church is drawing people to the table of grace, to the waters of baptism and the taste of Holy Communion. But always the church is going out into the world, crossing over boundaries of purity and supposed righteousness and expectation. Jesus, as he calls Matthew, draws the questions of people who disapprove of the kind of people he's associating with, who are worried about him bringing down his reputation, perhaps, or being changed by association with people who they judge to be unworthy. But Jesus is clear. His call is to go out to the world, to welcome not the righteous, but the sinners. The trick, of course, is for those of us who are comfortable coming into the building, but also are still working on ourselves. We come with no false belief that we are exempt from the reality of our human failure, our sin, individual and collective. It's not as though when you start coming to church, you suddenly don't have anything left to work on. Instead, as we draw closer to the love of God, we find that we always have more to work on. A rough edge that we hadn't noticed, a way of seeing grace that we hadn't yet perceived, prejudices and assumptions that we've not yet dealt with, that we have yet to work on. And that's part of why we both gather together to remind ourselves of a message of love and compassion and grace. And it's why we go out into the world to let our lives be changed by everyone we meet, to let our love be refined, made real as we interact with the world. On this day, as we celebrate moments of transition and change, we claim our belonging in this gospel that always draws us in and sends us out, that offers us healing and grace and invites us to do the work of letting go, of changing, of forgiving, of becoming new. All of this is God's good gift. May it be so. Amen.